Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution and production made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. The professionals at KPP Financial align their own interests with that of their clients. It's a simple concept, but not practiced by everyone. It's called parallel investing. And this means that one or more of the firm's principals is invested in each of their retirement programs. Every client can be assured that each investment decision made on their behalf was considered like it was their own. To learn more about KPP Financial's investment programs, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab. End of commercial, and now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It is August 12th, 2016, and the goal is always the same, always, for you to become above-average investor. That's what we're here for, to answer questions, give you information, and try to get you to understand how all this works. It's complex. It's just difficult, and it always will be, everybody. But you can do simple things. You don't have to become a genius. You don't have to know everything. You don't. But you do have to understand the principles and then applying those principles. It's pretty darn important. Anyways, this is Friday, and I always talk about the premium newsletter that goes out every Friday. This week I talked about the lack of data that was out this week. We had retail sales out this morning, and it was pretty disappointing to talk about that. And productivity we had earlier in the week. Productivity is always comes out every quarter. Retail sales comes out, that report comes out every month. So they're both lagging indicators, but you're really what you're trying to do is figure out what the consumer's doing. He drives the economy, and retail sales is a pretty important part of that. But you're looking backwards, so you've got to be careful because you really want to know what's going on in the going forward. But, you know, we've had very poor productivity. I wrote about that, and I think you should understand how that affects you and me and everybody. I always give you a couple stock ideas. In the portfolio management, I talked about mutual funds, how to find them, you know, what are some of the characteristics you're looking for, and what you should be avoiding. In the consumer watch, I talked about back-to-school bargains and where to find them and what you should do, what they look like, and maybe you should think about buying stuff for the holidays, too, at the same time. That was a week. It comes out every Friday. If you want to get one, it's easy. It's less than $10 a month. It comes out every week. So, if you'd like to try it, go to investtalk.com. You'll scroll down to the bottom of the page and just sign up. We're here to offer some perspective, but we count on you to give us your version of reality. We love it when you do. I mean, I don't want to drive the conversation all the time. I love it when you do. So why don't you drive it? Give me a call. We're here for you to offer some perspective, as I said. So 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. And do we have a caller or an email? Okay, we have a voicemail. Let's take that.
Hello, Steve. This is Hubert. Thank you for your podcast and the listener for almost half a year. Fantastic work. I got a question regarding the investment. I have maximized my 401k, HSA, non-deductible IRA, and almost everything. I plan to retire in 15 years, so I still have about like $20,000 $30,000 to invest, so I don't know where I should go for it. Would you mind giving me some advice on that? Thank you. Bye.
Well, if you have a long-term perspective and you're not really attuned to the market, you know, you're not really you're not that interested in the market, then you stick with the indexes. You just stick with the indexes, and those will work. And there you look for the least expensive ones. The ones, you know, Vanguard has great ones. There's ETFs that have, the reason why I mentioned Vanguard is they're very inexpensive. You know, the fees for the management. And if you're going to be, whenever you have a long-term perspective, you want to be more aggressive, not less aggressive. So, you know, that would be my suggestion, is just, you know, go with that. You don't, you know, there's no reason to be, you know, to watch the market every minute, every day. It's something you don't have to do. So 888-99-CHART is our number. Let's try to answer a question sent via our text message. Steve, Justin, I was wondering if you could evaluate SAEX. I know it's risky, but how about for a trade? Its earnings per share have gone up dramatically, and if it survives, there is seemingly great potential for a big return. Love the show. Mark from Philadelphia. SAEX. S-A. I don't, you know, that does not sound familiar to me. It's unusual to have a symbol that I totally have no familiarity with. It's SAE Exploration Holdings. It's out of Texas. That I can tell you why. Provides a full range of 2D, 3D, and 4D seismic data services on a worldwide basis. This company is a $1.6 million company. $1.6 million. It's a micro cap. Tiny, loses money. It's going to lose. It lost $85 a share last year. The stock is selling at $12.70. Something. You should not buy this stock with Monopoly money. I hate to tell you that. It's way too risky. There's absolutely no reason that you would want to own this company. None. Sales are up and down. It's just not worth. It's not worth it. It's not worth the effort. It's not worth the chance. They say that odd. The numbers are odd. They say they have big cash flow, but they lose huge amounts of money. Why? And the management owns half the company. That's a good sign for the management. But it's gone sharply down. This is not a company that you really would want to buy. You would not. 888-99-CHART, introducing children to money early on may help them avoid costly financial disasters in adulthood. Ways parents can teach young kids to budget. Now, I read this article, and I know a lot of parents because I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and most of them do none of these things, none. So it's kind of interesting. And that's going to be our main talking point. There's every year there's an annual meeting of 30 economists, okay, and they come up with a consensus prediction of what the economy is going to be this year. I want to give you what they think. GDP numbers, unemployment rate, what gold is going to do, what oil is going to do, what the dollar is going to do. So we're going to talk about that. And of course, there was a resale sales report out for July that came out today. We'll go over that a little bit. And I know a lot of you are watching Olympics. I'm kind of watching it here and there, not totally glued to the TV like most people, I think. But do you know how much they get paid by their governments? Who do you think is the highest paid? If you win a gold medal, how much does a country pay you? In the U.S., it's $25,000. I don't know if you knew that, but that's... If you win a gold medal in the U.S., you get $25,000. You win it for the U.S. But the $25,000 is small compared to some countries. Anyway, so I'm going to give you the list of the from the top to the bottom, who pays. Not really to all the way to the bottom, but I think that's pretty interesting. I was amazed at the number one country and how much they pay for a gold medal. You will be too. Introducing children to money, you know, that's going to be the main talking point. But we're going to talk about these three things along with that. But what is it on your mind? That's what we really want to talk about. So give us a call. The market was mixed today. The Dow down 37. The NASDAQ up 4. And the S&P down 2. So that's what the market did. It's been kind of up. The market this week is up for the week. But not a lot, but it was up. So... what are you going to do about the market? Are you in it? You out of it? Still worried about it? I think a lot of people are still worried. 888-99-CHART. Let's have a conversation about your money. Please share your investing story. What are your experiences so far this year? How are you doing? Are you a beginner question, a beginner investor or an advanced investor? Do you know what you are? So are you trying to catch up? Are you trying to do risky stuff to catch up? Please don't do that. That won't work. Yeah, I have suggestions if you want to make a call and ask a question. This is Invest Talk. My direct line is 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Will in Northern California. How you doing, Will? Will, you there? Wants to talk about annuities. We lost him, huh?
Yeah.
Hello? Hi, Will. How you doing?
Good. Just wanted to ask your opinion on annuities, whether that's a smart investment choice for retirement purposes.
Well, for myself, I'm not big on annuities, and I can give you my reasons, and you'll talk to other people. They'll give you reasons why you should have them. What I don't suggest you do is talk to the salesman and listen to his reasons why you should have them, because he's going to have all the best reasons. This is why I don't really care for annuities, because most of them make you stay with them for 7 or 10 years and you can't move out. You can't do anything. You got to stay there. Now, some allow you to take a little bit out every year. But when you talk about retirement, Will, many people want their money, you know, so they want to take money out. So don't get locked into something that you can't get out at all. By the way, they will let you take it out. It's just going to cost you. They'll penalize you for it. You know, they'll penalize it. But some annuities are allowing some distribution now. Annuities are pretty expensive, but most of the costs are hidden from you. They promise things that you think sounds really good, like, well, you'll never lose a dime, you know, if you're staying this annuity. Well, some, you know, when they say that, that's true, but that doesn't mean you'll make money either. So that's why they'll lock you in for longer. The longer they are in, the longer you're in, the more they can promise. Also, annuities are an insurance product. So it's an insurance company issuing it, and it's a contract. So first you got to be very sure about the insurance company that they can hang around for 10 years. And it's a contract, meaning the annuity contract is very complex and has a lot of fine print that most people don't know. Don't read, don't know what it says, until you want to do something that's not what they say you can do. I'm just not a big fan. I'd rather see you buy an index fund if you want to be in the market. I'd rather see you buy CDs or laddered bonds if you want to be conservative. Annuities, just not something I care for. Well, appreciate the call. Thank you. So be very careful, everybody. The insurance companies love selling these things because it benefits them the most. Loves them. They just love them. And the broker, the agent who sells them, he loves them too because it's high commission to him. They all like that. I have an email. A question is interesting, something we haven't talked about a long time. And this email says, "Hi, Steve. I hope you're doing well. Please feel free to share this question on the show. I have read where the 2014 SEC rule changes could make it become difficult to access your money market funds in a standard money market account during a financial crisis." Excuse me. "As an alternative," and that I'm not going to go into that, the rest of it, but there's been rule changes about money market funds, and most of those changes are regarding financial institutions, not individuals such as you and I. So they've been pretty careful not restricting us in any way. But there could be, the rules and regulations they came out with is, you know, phone book size, you know, thick. It's huge, massive. But the money market funds, are just, they're a type of mutual fund. So they could break a dollar per share and therefore be less than that you think it's worth. But I can't see that happening, and I think they'll allow you to get it. But you are right. Go for the money market funds and more conservative, your U.S. short-term treasury money market fund. InvestTalk is here for you, 888-99-CHART. Okay, as a parent, how are you going to teach your kids, or a grandparent, how are you going to teach your kid, young grandchildren, money, budgeting money, how to manage money, how to use it, you know, intelligently? Well, there's some things you can do. First, you can discuss budgets. Most parents don't even talk to their kids about money. Don't. Well, that's a start. How about talking about your budget, your household budget? Now, it depends, of course, on the age of the child. You can give your child chores and then give them opportunities to earn more money for, you know, for their allowance. You know, you could encourage teenagers to get a job. I have many nieces and nephews. Almost all of them don't have a job. Teenagers don't. They're all involved in sports. I think we put way too much emphasis on sports, and they can't don't have time for jobs. Well, I think a job is important. How about giving a teenager some responsibility, like a budget to buy their clothes for back to school? And if they make bad decisions, tough. In other words, they spend all their money on one pair of jeans. Don't buy them more clothes later. Say you should have spent more wisely. Make it a teachable moment. So give them decisions, some decision making. I know parents don't like that, but it's you want them to learn to make intelligent decisions. So you got to have them make mistakes, let them make mistakes, and then don't bail them out of those mistakes. And of course, you should always have them open a bank account, a savings account. That just makes sense, but most parents that I know don't do that either. Most of the things on this item, on an article that I'm referring to that's on our website, parents don't do. The ones I know don't do it. You know, which to me is surprising. Do your kids have chores? Many kids don't. It amazes me they don't have chores. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's go to John in San Francisco. How you doing, John?
Good. How about yourself, Steve?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I have a question about UTX, United Technology.
Yes.
So I bought this stock maybe a week before they report earnings, and now it's kind of shot up quite a bit.
Yes.
I just want to pick your thoughts on that and whether I should just take half position off and just keep the rest of it moving, or...
Well, why did you buy it? Did you buy it for a trade, or did you buy it for a core holding? Because it's a big company, $91 billion.
Yeah, so my plan was to go ahead and hold it for longer term, but just I know that's going to pull back just because it's been spiking up quite a bit. So I'm just, like, I have a huge position in there, actually. So I just want to see if I should take a quarter off now and just keep the rest.
Okay.
Long term, just because.
Well, is it more than 5% of your portfolio, John?
Yeah, it's actually about 8% of my portfolio. It's quite a bit of shares.
Yeah, then I'd probably cut it in half, make it go down to 4, and take the profit, and then hold the rest of that. Yeah, I would, because it's a little too heavy in your portfolio. I like more balanced, more positions, not less, because it helps prevent a disaster from happening.
Yeah, no, and that's why I'm calling it. And what do you think of the stock anyway? It's
okay.
Long-term.
United Technologies, everybody. It's a $91 billion company. It manufactures aircraft engines, elevators, flight systems, heating systems, aerospace products. So it is cyclical, John. So if the economy does well, this will do well. If the economy does poor, this does poorly. It's a cyclical stock. It's going to make $6.58 this year, then $6.90 next year. It looks like it's going to slowly grow. It hasn't been doing much growth in the last couple of years, but it looks like they're trying to turn it around. I think they'll do fine with that. I do. And it looks like it's coming off a bottom. So right now, it's a little expensive. A little expensive, but $108 stock, making $6.90 a share next year. So you can tell that that's, about 16 PE, that's a little bit more expensive than the market. Let me put it this way. The market's about an 18 PE right now, but a normal market's about 15. And this stock usually runs around the S&P 500 PE range of 15. And right now it's 17, so it's a little bit on the pricey side right now. Okay? But it has really good return on equity, 19%. So, and great cash flow, pays a dividend 2.4%. I like the company. It's a solid company, but it is going to be cyclical, so you have to be prepared for that. But I would take some. You have too much of it, and I would take some off the table right now. I really would.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Good company, UTX, United Technology. Good company. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So we have a text question that you guys can send me, and you do send me all the time, but here's one that came in earlier. I don't see it. $888-99-CHART. Okay, I'm going to have, we're going to talk about, there was a annual meeting of 30 economists, and they come out with what they think the year is going to be, the rest of the year is going to look like for 2016. So I have some interesting numbers I'm going to share with you about that. The GDP, unemployment rate, gold prices, oil prices, what the dollar is going to do. So we're going to talk about that. Retail sales report came out for July. I'm going to talk about that. And how much do countries pay their athletes who get a gold medal? How much do you think is the highest paid? Give me a range. What do you think? Those are going to be what we're going to discuss in the next half hour. You're listening to Vest Talk.
It's August's economic and market forecast. It went out to all InvestTalk insiders a few days ago. It covers the economy, domestic and foreign equities, fixed income, commodities, and there's recommended portfolio weightings, too. To get a copy of each month's forecast, just join our free InvestTalk Insider program. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Continue now with this Friday, August 12th Invest Talk. In the 401k world, having every possible fund in your program doesn't help much. It can create confusion and lead to some bad choices. Overhauling your 401k. Dump funds? That's our next talking point, but we're still working on today. Steve's ready to answer any money question right now. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Chase calling from New York. I wanted to ask you about specifically uranium. It's placed as an alternative investment asset. You know, uranium's been in a downtrend for quite a while now, especially after the Fukushima disaster, and there's a lot of political talk about being safe as a source of energy. But with the push towards clean energy, do you see uranium having a good future? And as far as like investing, I'm looking at URA, which is the uranium ETF, as possibly if you see a turnaround here in the downtrend, that I might start adding to my position on any pullback. So just let me know your thoughts, and I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, URA is a symbol, Global X Uranium. It is an ETF seeking a performance corresponding to the Solactive Global Uranium Total Return Index. So you're just betting on uranium. And so it's all about politics, because uranium and nuclear power is actually a very clean energy source. If you compare it with other methods other than solar, but solar is still not that practical, it may never be practical, I don't know. But it's all about politics. It's not, you know, most people are not willing to accept the risks that a nuclear power plant produces. And you get stuff like happened in Japan, and you can understand why. Even though there's hundreds and hundreds of nuclear power plants that have been going on for decades, and you have very little problems. But when you do have a problem, it's a big problem. So that's why you got the politics in there. And, you know, and then you have the clean energy folks don't want to support it because of the possible pollution that it can produce with uranium. So you're probably never going to get the clean energy folks to be on the side of a nuclear power plant. So it's a lot of politics. You're just rolling the dice. It depends on how the politics goes. And it's just something I would not own simply because it's unquantifiable. You can't quantify it. You can't say, okay, they're going to build so many nuclear power plants, therefore they're going to use it. No, you don't have a clue. No one knows, and you're not going to know. So it's something I would stay away from, that because you can't measure it very well. You can't measure its growth. You can't measure its wealth. You know, its dividend paying power. You can't measure it. You can measure, it's difficult. It's difficult. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, you know, there's 30 economists get together every year, and they make predictions for the year 2016, and they just updated their position, their predictions for this year, and they're predicting GDP growth of 1.8% for the year. Okay, what is it now? 2? So not they don't think it's going to grow. Unemployment rate 4.7%, well, that's down 2 ticks from 4.9. CPI, Consumer Price Index, inflation 2%. It's about that right now, isn't it? 2.3% right now. Gold, they think it's going to be up 6%. Dollar, they think it's going to be down 7.8% by the end of the year. And oil, they expect it to be at about $49.50. These are their consensus predictions of what's going to happen in our economy. Once you get done reading through all these things, you'll find they're saying it's going to be about what it is now. Not much change, maybe a little bit weaker by the end of the year. That's what it's saying. Well, I could have told you that. I don't have to be an economist. I don't have to have a big meeting to discuss it, do you? Anyway, 888-99-CHART. When you visit investtalk.com, you'll see a list of dates for my retirement reviews. I spend at least 2 days a month, usually in the Bay Area. August 30th and 31st is going to be this month. San Ramon on the 30th and San Jose on the 31st. To reserve your time or schedule, you know, you want to schedule a time, go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab, and then portfolio review. I'm ready for you. Any money questions are great. I would love to have them. This is Invest Talk. My direct line is 888-99-CHART.
You really can't assemble and maintain the right retirement portfolio for you if you don't have a clear and honest understanding of your risk tolerance. Steve and Justin highly recommend our free risk analysis tool. Step one just takes about 3 minutes to complete. And then if you want to go on to the next step, we can help you determine if your present portfolio is a good fit to your risk tolerance. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
Hi, this is Matt from Utah. I love the show, Steve and Justin. Thank you. My question is about Fidelity Biotech Mutual Fund, FBIOX. I've owned it for a while, and it's made about 50%. And I have, I don't know, 7,000 or 8,000 in it, and it's gained 2,000 since I bought it. And I'm looking to sell it before it drops. So I'm just looking for a little advice on when you think would be a good time to get out. Thank you.
Well, it looks like it's right into resistance right now. This is for everybody. This is a mutual fund we're talking about, Fidelity Select Biotechnology. So you're betting on the direction of biotechnology. And this has made higher highs and higher lows since February. In January, it just collapsed with the market. I mean, it collapsed harder than the market, much harder than the market, more like 50%. The market was down, you know, what, 10? This fell down 50%. So that tells you how hard it can fall when the market falls. So your idea of taking some profits off the table is a sound idea. But I do like the fact that it's putting higher highs and higher lows, and that's a very bullish sign. But I will also say that it looks like around 200, maybe it's selling for $189.93 now, but right around 200 is where there's a lot of resistance for it. It's getting right into it, you know, right, starts right around here, gets very heavy around $200 a share. Then the next resistance up at 225, 230. So, you know, you're going to have to be very, very careful because this is going to be volatile and you've already experienced the volatility. So it does make sense to at least take some off the table, and I would do that if I were you. Okay, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Retail sales for July came out. And now, do you remember in June's report that it was very good? It was like 0.8% up, and we haven't had that, you know, good strong of a retail sales report in months, and everybody's all excited about it. Well, Don't be too excited about July's because it was flat. It didn't grow at all. Even though the expectation was it for it to be up 0.4%, it did not move. And if you excluded autos, which were pretty strong, up 1.1% for July, if you exclude that, the retail sales report showed a reduction of 0.3%. And if you weren't familiar with this report and its little nuances, you would probably say, boy, that doesn't sound very good. But you really had to dig into it. Part of the reason, and a big part of the reason that the report was flat and would be negative if you take out autos, is because oil prices fell. Not just oil prices, gasoline prices fell. And that is part of the retail sales. Doesn't mean you use less gas, it just means you paid less. And so retail sales was less because of gasoline prices fell. But I don't want to tell you that was the only problem. No, it was many other sectors fell tiny bits. Except for gasoline prices, they fell a lot. And everybody buys gas. So it still wasn't strong, it's just not as weak as you might assume it is from the top line numbers. Still not good. Don't get me wrong, we need the retail sales to really to go up. We don't need to go sideways. But you got to take it as a grain of salt. It's 1 month, it's backward looking, so I wouldn't get too excited about it. Let's take another test question that came in between programs. Fitbit, F-I-T is the symbol, has recently been on the move after showing better than expected earnings. Their new products at the beginning of the year were very successful. Now announced there will be a couple more new products by the end of the year. What are your thoughts? Fitbit, everybody, they're the watch, you know, the healthy watch that you wear. It develops wearable, connected health and fitness trackers and mobile apps that wirelessly sync with its devices. They IPO'd not that long ago at $20 a share. When I say not too long ago, about June of 2015, at $20 a share, and today it's at $15 a share. So don't get excited that, oh my goodness, you know, it's a great company, it made lots of money. Well, you know what? If you bought it at the IPO price, it got up to $50 a share. The first trade was like 30. So the first time you were able to buy it was like 30, went up to 50, then went all the way down to, you know, what, 12? And now today it's at $14.97. So don't get too excited about it. But it does look like sales are growing strong, but the sales growth is, the trajectory is down. For instance, it grew 46% sales in the most recent quarter. The quarter before that was 50. The quarter before that was 92. The quarter before that was 168%. It's a $3.2 billion company doing about $2 billion in sales, which is not a bad relationship. It's not a bad. It's going to make $1.43 next year, and it's a $14.97 stock. So that means it's going to be about 10, 11. That means it's a fairly inexpensive stock with good sales. So I'm thinking that if you're going to want to be, if you're going to want to buy it, this is where you would probably buy it. You buy it in this area. You know, it has very strong support, a little bit above $12, like $12.25 or so. And it bounced off that, you know, it hit $12 in March, and then it bounced off that in July, and it's been having higher highs and higher lows since then. So I think this is where you'd pick it up if you're going to want to be a buyer of Fitbit. Looks fairly inexpensive, especially if their product, you know, it's going to be about their product, you know, all about their products coming out. Let's get back to the listener line, 888-99-CHART. Sonny has a question from Oakland.
I have a question. I'm holding on to some stocks, and I've got them for about 15 years now. They're worth about $6,000. I get a dividend check every 3 months, and it's a paltry $20 or so. My question is, should one get rid of stocks that are not really producing well and trade up to something up and coming?
Well, obviously that goes to risk, how much risk you want to take. And if you bought it, if you bought the stock for the dividend, and now you're looking at, well, what is it yielding, giving you a yield of, you know, $6,000 paying $20 a, you know, what do you say, a quarter? So that's, you know, $80 a year on 6,000. That's not very much. It's like 1.5%, 1.25%. Not very much. If you want that money to grow, yeah, you get out of that dividend-paying stock and you look for growth stock, like Fitbit we just talked about. Look for the growth. You're looking for growth. But if you're looking for blue-chip stocks paying dividends, that's what you buy. That one doesn't sound like it's paying very much. You didn't tell me what company it was, so I don't know. But, you know, it's not something that's paying a really good dividend. And you say it's not growing. I certainly would take a close look at it as far as getting rid of it. It depends on the company. And why is it not growing? Why? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I'm sure you're watching the Olympics just like I am. You know, the athletes get paid for the medals they earn. Now, I remember when I was young, the athletes had to be amateur. Do you remember that? And one of the problems was is every Russian athlete was in the military, but they were amateurs. And they went, wait a minute, they were in the military as an athlete, not as a military as a military person. That's all they did was their athlete. That was what they did. You remember that? Remember the hockey, the Russian hockey team was a bunch of young guys because there was no pros, hockey pros. It was all college age hockey players from the U.S. And we're playing this pro team out of Russia, pro all-star team, and we beat them. That was really exciting, by the way. I was. Well, nowadays it's different. Athletes can get paid, and countries pay them. I'm going to tell you how much they are getting paid. I'll tell you, in the U.S., it's $25,000 for a gold medal. So you get paid gold, silver, bronze, $25,000 for gold. I'm going to talk about only gold. And what do you think the highest number is? The highest. And you'll be amazed how much that is. And I got a number of countries that I'm going to go and talk about. So I don't think the Olympics is nearly as popular as it used to be, but I still like watching them. We meaning the United States, has you know, a big lead in the medals right now. But it is pretty interesting. And I'm going to go from small countries that pay a lot of money to the European countries. And Russia, Germany, Canada, France, Italy. But they're not the highest paid, not by far. You can still get through with your questions. We still have time. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Or you can send me a note. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve.
Question for Steve or Justin?
I'm wondering what out there is going to work better over the next 20 years than buy and hold.
You're the best person to ask it at 888-99-CHART.
We're going to talk to Richard in Castro Valley. How are you doing, Richard?
Hi, how's it going today, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it.
Yes, I've been looking at shorting Apple. I bought it when it was around 92, 94, and wrote it up. I've sold it already. I sold it around 106.
Okay.
When I was looking at the chart and I do a channel, it seems to be in a downward channel, and it seems to be right now even like 10% above that downward channel.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty much true. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you think you should short it?
Yes.
Well, I don't particularly like shorting stocks that have great value and lots of cash and making a lot of money. And, of course, that's Apple. And just so you know, we still own Apple in our managed accounts. So you're basing your assumptions on the chart itself and saying, okay, the chart to you looks bearish. And it will probably go back down to the bottom of the channel in the low 90s from 108. And you may well be correct. And, you know, if the market does correct, the Apple will probably correct with it. I would be concerned, though, we're coming up on the upcycle in their product launches, you know, their new phone, in other words. And that tends to support Apple on the upside. And I think it would be a pretty high-risk short, Richard, simply because of the cycle that it's in. You know, if it was last year at this time, I'd feel more comfortable saying, well, yeah, you might get that downward stroke. The only way I think you're going to get that downstroke is if the whole market goes down, and then there might be other stocks that don't make as much money that would be a lot better short possibilities. So,
okay,
that's just me. I think that you want to short stocks that look weak financially as well as the chart. Okay? That'd be
my opinion. I'll leave it alone.
Thanks. Well, it's a good thought. At least you're thinking, Richard. You're thinking that how am I going to make money? I think that's a good idea. It's a, you know, I appreciate the call, Richard. Thank you. I just wouldn't do it with Apple. I like the thinking. It's in a downward kind of channel, and it kind of is. And it's at the upward band of that channel. So he's thinking, well, maybe it'll roll over and go back down. And it very well possibly could, you know, until it breaks up significantly. And it did break above the channel, but not significantly and not with a lot of gusto. So, we're talking about the gold medal and how much athletes from various countries get paid by their country for earning a gold medal. In the United States, it's $25,000 for every gold medal. Of course, then you got to pay income tax on that money. So you don't get to just keep it. You got to pay income tax on it. Good old U.S. of A. Well, what do you think is the highest paid athlete country athlete? And it's a city state, Singapore. They pay the most for a gold medal winner. They will get $753,000. $753,000 for a gold medal. Indonesia's number two, $383,000. Whatever that country is, $255,000. Okay, now we get into countries we're familiar with that were more Western, and then Italy would be next at $185,000. Win a gold medal for Italy, you get $185,000. You win it for France, which is the next one down, you get $66,000. Russia pays $61,000. These are all American dollars. Now, $61,000 in Russia is going to go a lot further than $66,000 in France, right? Because of the cost of living. Then it goes down to us, the $25,000. Germany pays $20,000, and Canada pays $15,000. So does that mean if you earn 5 gold medals in the United States, you'll get $125,000? I think it does. So, you know, I don't think $25,000 for all the work, all the work those athletes do to get to the where they are, I don't think it's enough money, to be honest. I think it's kind of on the cheap side. Think of all the dedication they have to go through to get that gold medal. I mean, the world's best athletes? That's what you get. Our time is up. A reminder, you can reach me directly with a personal money question that you want direct answers to. Click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. Your note will go straight to me, and I will answer it via email as soon as I can, usually within a day or two, maybe three, working days, that is. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's get together again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.
InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.